this morning.
To Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And we will be in verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do humbly come before You in the name of Your Son. And Father, we ask that You would condescend to us this morning and teach us from Your Word this great truth. Not only a command, but a promise we have before us to cast our burdens upon You, that You will sustain. You will not allow Your people to be shaken. And Father, we come with faith, increase our faith, and Father, protect us this morning. Give us hearts to understand, eyes to see, and ears to hear, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. We have before us this morning in this psalm, in its entire context, the inner reflections of David in the midst of his trouble. And it was a time of deep personal distress. And what many believe, though this is not blatantly said here, is that it is or has been understood to be in reference or connected to his son Absalom's rebellion in 2 Samuel 15 and through 17. What we see of David during this time was that he was betrayed, he was slandered, overwhelmed, and fearful. Yet we see that rather than suppressing his anguish and grief, he brings it to the Lord. He cries out for help, pleading with the Lord to turn his ear to his prayer. He says that in verse 1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Give heed to me and answer me. I am restless." He says here that men may be treacherous, evil, and wicked. He says here, they may betray you, even your closest friend, yet God is faithful. And we may experience pain, burdens, but we must always trust His divine faithfulness. And although none of us here can relate to David and having our son seeking our life, him usurping our throne and betraying us, this burden we cannot relate to. We do not have it. Yet all men have different conditions of life that they may call their burdens. And there are burdens in this life which we do not need to, nor should we seek to carry on our own. Now we know when following the Lord, there are burdens which are good and just and right, which we should hold on to, which again, through the help of the Lord, we must carry ourselves. There is the burden that we have for the lost to come to salvation. The burden which we've all been commanded to do, to take up our cross and follow Christ. Burdens of service for the kingdom. And these, rather than being burdens of sorrow, are found to be a great joy. And Christ has promised that His burden is easy, His yoke is light. So following Him is no trying thing in these things. We find these burdens actually joyous and find them freeing to serve Him in such ways. And within these things, there is a healthy anxiety about them, a godly fear, a care here for others, for our own salvation, for souls. We've seen these things, these great burdens. These are good. A burden upon our hearts for God's glory, men's salvation, and to walk carefully before Him. And these burdens we will never lay down as long as we live. And we should never seek to either. Yet when looking out upon all of you this morning, if I were to ask each and every one of you here what your burdens are, there would be many different answers given. Some would say that they are burdened with their cares and they have great anxiety, maybe in general. Or some, as a certain event in life has left them feeling hopeless, at a loss for what to do. I don't know what I should do here, Lord. I have no clue what lies next before me. Some, it may be a relationship. This relationship, I don't know how I can mend it. My job, I don't know how to approach it or overcome this hurdle. Whatever lays before me, I'm anxious. And again, whatever it be, there is anxiousness and care within you. In some sense, as I've said, it may even be good for a loved one, for their salvation, but nonetheless, you are burdened. For others, it may be that you are slandered for Christ. This is David's case here, one of his burdens that he was spoken ill against. And with this, it may be those closest to us, family, friends, who don't understand our following Christ, or even those who profess Christ, and yet when you seek to follow him truly, they will slander, they will call you all sorts of things. And there are some who would seek to live peacefully, live righteously before God and man, and yet the wicked still slander them. They mock, they attribute ill motive to your work. They say that you are sinning when you are not. A great example is Job of this. His friends were attributing his situation to his own sin. They were slandering him. And yet we know that this is not the case. And to be slandered and spoken ill of man is a great burden. Probably one of the hardest burdens to bear. And just know for your case, this is nothing new for the people of God. The very best of men in every age of this world are at times ill spoken of. And this should serve us as a reminder why we should guard ourselves against speaking ill and gossiping and slandering about Christian people. For God will not hold him guiltless who speaks ill towards his people. We must guard our tongues. But if this is you, this is a very heavy burden. You may also have outward troubles that burden you. Loss of job, disappointment in life, things not going your way. It seems nothing good is happening and you've grown disheartened. There's also loss of loved ones. Bereavement has come. This itself is a very heavy burden. A loss of a child, spouse, parent. Heavy burden to carry, and the ache of the heart in this is very heavy. You may also even carry the burden of your body. Illness or something else has struck you physically. Pain is your daily companion. Your illness, you see the end of life coming. This too is a great burden. But whatever our burden may be, whatever you may answer this morning on what your burden is, we are told very specifically in the text what we are to do. Cast your burden upon the Lord. And this is what I will exhort you to today. Whatever you carry, cast it upon the Lord. And we're dealing with our text this morning and dealing mainly with the context of the passage, but weaving this in for us. I will have three headings, and the first that we have this morning is the temptation that our burdens bring. The temptation our burdens bring. And again, carrying burdens is no small thing. When we are heavy laden with the cares of life, with the trying circumstances that we have, or even when we are burdened with our own sin, we are often tempted to take care of things ourselves in different ways, to carry the load on our own or to handle things in an ungodly way. One of the chief things that we are tempted to do when burdens come in this life is we are tempted to complain, to murmur about how terrible things are for us. In one sense, we do so. We're tempted to complain because too often what is in our human fallenness in this flesh, what we tend to do is we magnify our own burdens and lessen those of others. We act as if we have it worse than others do. And we begin to even say to ourselves, who has been burdened like me? Oh, my life is so hard. How could something like this happen to me? No one understands what I'm going through, this suffering, this weight. And yet something we must understand is that we must never even have the appearance of complaining against our Heavenly Father. I say this, but all too often, once our burdens become heavy, when we feel tried, we're tired, heavy laden, we may begin to think or complain that the Lord is dealing too hard or harsh with us, that He is not dealing with us rightly as He should. Again, going back to Job, Job is a great example of this. Look at his loss. Look at all that happened to him. And then we see that at the beginning of his suffering, his burdens, he was walking well, but then his friends began to open their mouths. And they were dealing with him and attributing his hardships to his sinfulness. They began speaking ill of him, saying, you've done this to yourself. God is dealing justly with you. And rather than biting his tongue and remaining quiet, as he should have, he became impatient with him. And he then began to spoke things about the Lord and his hand being upon him that he never should have, and his impatience and trying to clear his name. He began to take himself up against God and saying, if he were right before me, he would answer these questions. And let us caution against such things. For when the Lord is dealing with us, when it feels as if He is chastening us with His rod as a father does a child, we must be careful that we do not murmur under our breath and begin to rebel and speak ill of Him in any way. When speaking to his own wife, Job said in all his affliction, shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? What he is saying here is that whatever comes my way, whatever happens, is from the hand of the Lord. Though it seem to us in our weak minds that God means ill towards us, the truth stands, though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This must be our attitude in our trials and our burdens. No matter our lot in life, no matter the burden, we must never be given to complaining against Him. Another temptation that we tend to have when burdens come our way is that of essentially throwing in the towel, giving up. Verses 4 through 5 seem to paint this picture for us, this thought coming in David's heart. He says that fear and trembling have come upon him. Horror has overwhelmed me. Basically, he's saying, I cannot bear it anymore. Feeling, I can do no more. I can go no further. Lord, I would rather die. Just take me home. I cannot bear this anymore. I just wanted to give up. This life's too hard. Whatever you've got for me, I don't want to do it anymore. Call me home. I'm done. And too often we would, in our burden, be tempted to lie down in bitterness of soul, in depression, and just waste away. Have you ever felt tempted in such a way? We must never allow this to happen, to have this attitude. Not only should we not be given to complaining, but we must never be given to despair either. And that is what this is, this attitude. It is one of despair. This is not Christ-like. This is not the character of the child of God. You may be completely zapped of strength. You may be at the end of yourself. That may be true. No one is undermining that. But know this, that God's mercy is a vast ocean. And that in Christ towards you, it will never run dry. His grace is a bottomless well. When you have no strength, He gives strength. When you are at the end of your rope, you must lean on Him and take courage in your burdens. Do not look towards your death before it is your appointed time, but lift up your head. Look to Christ. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Do not look down in despair. Do not look to yourself. Do not give up and think, God must not be with me if I am having all this happen in life. With the Lord there is hope. Another example I would draw your attention to is that of Joseph. Look at him and all his afflictions. Sold by his brothers. He was wrongly accused and slandered by his owner's wife of raping her. He was thrown into prison, forgotten in prison. And yet in all his afflictions, once he stood before his brothers and they trembled and thought that he would deal harshly with him, he told them, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. God's hand was in this. All my burdens, everything that has happened to me, God has done this for good. He could have given himself to despair. He could have wallowed in self-pity in that prison. Yet he still worked for the Lord even then and relied on Him and put his life in God's hands. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 71 said, it is good for me that I was afflicted. And why, we may ask, why would it be good that you were burdened and afflicted? He says that I may learn your statutes. What he's saying here is, in my affliction, I did not give myself over to despair, but rather I drew close, God. I came to your word, I came to you in prayer, and you sustain me. Another temptation that we see here, that David even shows us, is the desire to flee. To flee from our troubles, to just simply run. He says this in verse 8. In 7, actually even 6, he said, I would fly away. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away from my troubles. I would wander far away from here. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would be a recluse. I would hide away. I wouldn't have to deal with people anymore. I wouldn't have to deal with the burden of them. I would go off, hasten to my place of refuge, to hide from the stormy wind and tempest, from all these trials, from all this tribulation, from those who seek my life. I would just simply hide away and waste away. That would be better than dealing with this, the hurt that comes with what people do to me and how they speak of me and betray me. And how many, when trials come, do this very thing. When we see that our endeavors in life, we see that they just don't seem fruitful. We are tired. And we're tempted to just run away from our problems rather than dealing with them. To pack up and leave. How many have had the burden of a marriage that was troublesome and they ran? How many in their marriage, they just see life or their work and everything, and they have what's attributed to a midlife crisis of men, but really what it is, it's just sin. They see it and they're not satisfied and they just run. They want more. How many have had an issue at work and rather than just dealing with it, they just quit? Have been in ministry and seeing that to their eyes, it just seemed fruitless. They've labored for souls, and it doesn't seem like it's working at all. They would rather just run away, hide away, quit ministry, and not deal with people. If these different things describe you, do not run away. For one, the Lord has placed you where you are. And again, everything comes from the Lord. All that we have in our life is from His hand. And where could you run from Him if you did seek to run? Do you think that your problems would not follow you? Do you think that when you ran, you would not have more problems that would be worse than what you were dealing with to begin with? Do you think your problems lie solely with other people and that the Lord had no hand in any of it, to discipline, shape you, transform you, more into the image of his beloved Son, to sanctify and purify you, that he may be testing you during this time? Look at Jonah. Where could Jonah flee from the Lord? The Lord called Jonah, go, do this. He said, absolutely not. I'm not dealing with those people. He fleed from his burden that the Lord had laid upon him. And then when the Lord dealt with Jonah for his running away, was it not bitter to be swallowed by a fish, to have men toss him into the sea? Would it not end up worse for you should you run as it did for him, to be in more trouble than if you would have stayed? There are situations we must run from, yes, and this is godly and wise. But too often, this is one of our instincts, is to just run from trouble and not deal with it. But you must not run. Stand your ground. Fight like the people of God. We are to rely on His strength and stand firm no matter the burden that comes our way. And who knows? And you're standing firm and you're fighting, you may, by the grace of God, hold out long enough to see fruitfulness in your situation. The wife who is rebellious may have a softened heart. The husband who is loveless may warm up to you. The unbelieving spouse may believe. This work situation that you just want to quit and run, just say, I don't want to deal with it anymore, which is unfavorable, may actually become better than if you had gone and left and gone elsewhere. Who yet knows what the Lord will do and what He has in store for you? But know this, your enemy, the enemy of our souls, would seek us to run and hide away when things get challenging, knowing that our relief may be just around the corner, that better days may yet be waiting for us, and He would lead us astray right when we would be successful and fruitful. Trust the Lord, be patient, wait upon Him in the time of trial, in the time of burden. Rely on Him and His strength. And to be where God would have you to be right now is far better than fleeing. Again, look to David. This situation with his son was awful. But yet the Lord moved favorably in his life and established him once again. And for us, we must seek to be led by God in all things. To stop when the cloudy pillar by day stops, when the pillar of fire by night stops. To follow Him when He would lead us, and to be where He would have us is far better than wandering in the wilderness alone. And the last temptation that I will mention for this heading this morning, in the context of this verse, is that of wishing evil against those who are evil towards us. We see here in this psalm that David cries out for those who had slandered him, had done him ill, to be brought down to the pit of destruction, to be destroyed. Now for us, we may say, oh, look, David prayed this way. I'm going to pray this way. If I'm going to use the Psalms as an example, we may be tempted to pray in such a way. Praying, Lord, deal harshly with those who have dealt harshly with me. Exact vengeance, Lord. I cry out for judgment upon them. Slay them in your anger for how they have treated me. Should we act in such a way? I would say no, we should not. Look to the example Jesus gave in the Gospels when Christ was passing through a Samaritan village, or wanted to pass through a Samaritan village. They would not accept Him. They would not welcome Him. And the sons of thunder, John being one of them, this disciple whom Christ loved, who spoke much on God's love, if we remember the story, what did they say when they rejected Christ? Lord, would you have us pray and call down fire upon these wicked people for what they've done to you? They've done evil to you, Lord. They deserve fire, justice, vengeance. They've rejected us. Should we call it down? And Christ says, no, you do not know what spirit you are being of. We should not return evil for evil. It will only aggravate our wound and will hurt us deeper. It will make our burden and this hurt that we have fester and rot. To slander in return of slander will do your heart no good. And our Lord is the greatest example of this. Did Christ, when men trampled him underfoot, when they slandered him, beat him, put him upon the cross, did he retaliate? Never did he. He cried out, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." And should that not be how we act towards those who do us wrong? To cry out, "Lord, forgive them. They've acted wickedly towards me, yes. But Father, help me not to return sin for sin." To protect ourselves from when they use their forked tongues and evil provocations towards us, that we ask for protection to not respond in kind with the same vile words. "Oh, you've done me wrong. My mother's done me wrong. My father, my friend, whatever. They're wicked. They care nothing for me," and slander them to everybody. They care nothing about us. "They've done this, Y, Z. Oh, this person at work has done whatever. Oh, you wouldn't believe what my wife did," whatever. We say, we go and spew venom against them. We return evil for evil, telling others how vile they are, how wicked they have been. This does not do any good. If anything, it harbors evil and bitterness in your heart, and it does nothing for the kingdom. It shows others that you have taken vengeance into your own hands, and that when hurt, you respond in an evil way. This is not how Christ does. This is not how we are called to do. We are called to love our enemies, to do good to them that hate us, and even those that curse us, to pray for them, to serve them, that the judgment we heap on them is goodness, as burning coals upon them, that we do good for them, that we repay evil with good. And you may yet even win those who are evil towards you. Someone who is absolutely vicious towards you. Your spouse, a rebellious child, a neighbor, parent, whatever you fill that in. That when you respond with kindness, grace, and act like Christ, you may yet win them to you, to Christ. So be gentle, loving. Show yourselves to be children of your Father in heaven by your acting graciously and loving them and praying for them as we've been commanded to do. We are surrounded by enemies, dear Christian, and we will be consumed with bitterness if we wish evil towards everyone that does evil towards us. Because guess what? Even the best of men are still evil in their hearts. They still have evil. Even the best Christian out there may offend you in some way. And when these things happen, rather may we be as our Lord and pray that God would make us wise in our dealings with those who do us wrong, to overlook offenses, to be gracious, to win men to Christ. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses in this. Look at how many men in the history of the church, I'm sure, were converted when they saw men, women, even children being led off to their deaths. They were led off to be burned, eaten, ripped apart by lions. And rather than cursing the ones who were making them a mockery, looking down on them, who were dealing these death blows, they spoke gently and graciously to them, cried out, "Lord, forgive them. They know not what they do." They were singing hymns, asking for mercy. And if they can forgive, if Christ could forgive the ones who nailed him to the cross, you can forgive the one who spoke evil of you or mistreated you in some way. Again, we make our burdens and what's done to us so great and magnify them, and we won't let go. Love them. Show them the love of our gracious Lord. When trials come, we are tempted to do these things. Yet let us now look to what we are to do with our burdens. So we've seen what not to do. Now let's look at what we should do. Our second heading is the Lord's command for our burdens. And we are commanded here, he says, to cast our burdens upon the Lord. And that whatever this is that is burdening us, plaguing us, We are called to bring it and place it upon the Lord. This word cast almost conveys this notion of tossing to the side, of laying it on something else, to be done with it. And what this is meaning is to come to Him and give them to Him. To take it off your shoulders and place them upon His. We are to take our burdens to the Lord for relief. And we are not to take them to others. This is the command. We may come to friends. We may speak of our burdens to them. We may even come to ministers, but ultimately they cannot give relief. Now, the scriptures do tell us that we are to bear one another's burdens. This is true. But it must ultimately be the Lord who we turn to for relief. Men may show us pity, but they cannot relieve the weight of the burden we carry. They can show kindness to you, yet this will not relieve. The call is to look to the Lord. Wait for the God of our salvation, knowing that He will listen. Yet you may ask rightly, how do we do this? You say this, but how do we practically cast our burdens upon the Lord? And the first thing that we must see, the first way in which this must be done, is by faith. And in this faith, first we must see and acknowledge that everything that happens to us, good or bad, is from the hand of the Lord. That our dealings are in His hands. That even the burdens we have, the Lord has ordained and allowed them. And it does us well when we do this, when we see that everything is from Him. For it draws us immediately back to Him for relief. If we know that He has allowed these things to happen in our lives, if He is testing us, it is best to come to Him. And since we know it is Him, we need to come and wait patiently for its removal. Now, we come in faith knowing this, but also we come in faith knowing that He is near to us and a present help in time of trouble. I come to Him trusting that the hairs on my head are all numbered and nothing happens to me which He does not see and which He will not sustain me through. I must also come in faith, trusting in the blood of Christ, and that peace has been made with God through His sacrifice, and that though I may not see peace in this life, in an earthly sense, I have peace with my Heavenly Father. Knowing all my ways are before Him, everything I do, and that He who spared not His own Son will freely give me all things I need spiritually. And along with this, I know and trust that He invites me to come, that He will care for me, and that all things work together for good to those who love Him. This is how we cast our burdens upon the Lord in faith, trusting that He will remove it, laying it at His feet to care for us in it. Isaiah 26:3 says, "The steadfast of mind you will keep in perfect peace because He trusts you." If we would have peace with our burdens, we must trust Christ and have faith. Another way in which we cast our burdens upon the Lord is through prayer. In order to cast them upon Him, we must tell Him about them. Is it not amazing that our Lord, though He knows all things, invites us into His presence to lay our burdens before Him, to speak with Him? If we think of a father for a moment, many fathers know all that their child has done that day. They know intimately what has happened in their lives. They know their cares. They know their troubles intimately. And yet, think of this father who then calls the child to himself. Invites them, come, sit on my lap. Tell me all about your day. Tell me what has burdened you today. And he does this, though he knows everything, for the child's benefit. For the child to know, my father cares about me. He wants to hear my fears, my troubles, my cares. He wants to hear all about me, though he knows it. He draws me to himself and wants to embrace me and have me speak with him. And this is true of our Lord. It is such an honor that we get to approach him in such a way as the children of God. It is a great privilege that we may come privately before the Lord of the universe, that we have a one-on-one audience with him. And again, though he knows everything, that he calls us to come and bring it to him. My child, what troubles you? What are your burdens? What would you ask of me? And again, this one-on-one, it would be a great privilege to be admitted before royalty, to be able to even speak to the President of the United States, but for a moment, to stand in his presence and do that would be a great privilege. But it is beyond all comprehension and honor that we get to come before our Father in heaven. And we tend to forget that. What an honor and privilege it is that this holy being has invited us to come. And in prayer, what are we told regarding it in Scripture? We're told and commanded in the Scriptures, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Come, bring your request, bring your burden. And what's the promise in this passage? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We're commanded, we're invited. It is a duty, yet it is a privilege to pray. And one which should be no burden to us at all. It is good for us to draw near to our God. William Jay said of prayer, he said, prayer opens the heart, lets out grief, and opens heaven and lets down grace. And when we come and we pray to the Lord, this helps us to cast it upon him and to leave it there in prayer. We leave our burdens with him. We cannot carry them ourselves, so why hold on to it? Why should I continue to carry it myself? What good reason do I have to have it remain with me? There is no good reason. And how can I truly say that I have cast my burdens upon him by faith and in prayer if I still leave, when I leave prayer, burdened with it? It will not be rid of what ails me. Yet what sweet relief it is after pouring our hearts out in prayer. The Lord has relieved us of them. The trial may still remain, yes. You may still have trouble, yes. But the burden, the weight of this situation is lifted because you have laid it upon your Lord, put it in his hands, and said, Lord, do what is good in your sight. I trust you. Your servant is in your hands. This situation may not be resolved, Lord, but you've taken the weight from me. Carry it for me. I can't. I will be crushed by it if you do not take it. I leave it with you. And what truth this is. And yet know this, that if you come unbelieving, if your prayer is careless, nothing but formality, you may very well be left with your burden. You must pray with your heart, crying out to the Lord and leaving it there. We do not put much effort into prayer. We have what I would call drive-by prayers or even drive-through prayers where we expect to come through, give an order, hurry up and pick it up, and leave. We don't wrestle, we don't ask, seek, and knock. And when you come and you wrestle and you leave your burdens, it is an exhausting thing to wrestle with God in prayer and leave these burdens with him. When he would have you come and pray, he would have your whole heart in that moment believing, Lord, you can take this and I will leave it. I cannot keep it with me. It will consume me. Cry out to him and leave it with him. And for everyone here this morning, I would ask, do you have burdens that you still carry? That you refuse to let go? Leave them with the Lord. Stop trying to do it yourself. Stop carrying that weight. Do you carry the burden of your sin? Do you still feel the weight, the guilt? Do you stand condemned, waiting punishment? Christ invites you to come, place your burden upon Him. And He promises His yoke is easy, His burden light. He will cleanse you from your sin, and He will take the, and He Himself took the burden of your sin upon Himself on the cross. And now He says, turn to Me in faith and trust and live. And when you do so, He promises, I will relieve you of your burden of sin and give you life everlasting. I will give you peace with God. In our final heading this morning is the Lord's promise. The Lord's promise. And with this final heading, I will focus on two things which we find in our verse. Promises given, if you will, or rather almost, it could be phrased that what we should expect if we fulfill the command God has given. If we truly come in faith and cast our burdens upon Him and follow this command, what will He do in return for us? And the promise that we have is that we will be sustained and the righteous will not be shaken. And we can draw several things from this. When God's people will but follow this command of casting their burdens upon the Lord, the first thing we see is that He will give them sustenance. Now we see this in many ways through the Scriptures. In a practical way, we can apply this to our situation now. One example is the Lord's sustaining of the Israelites in the wilderness while they wandered. Another is the Lord sustained and fed Elijah with ravens. We see that the Lord fed them, sustained them. He fed them so that they would have strength to carry on with the burdens which they had. He helped them carry their burdens. He took them upon Himself. And what we see of even the Israelites and all their wandering and Him sustaining them, that their clothes did not wear out, their shoes did not wear out. He kept them safe, kept them alive. He kept them moving and going, filled with strength to carry on what He had told them to do. And what we are told is that if we cast our burden upon the Lord, He will sustain us. Does this mean that your troubles will go away? That you will be delivered from every trial and everything in life is just going to be great? That no troubles will come your way? No. This is not the Christian life. And many try to sell this false bill of goods that everything is just going to be great. Yet, despite this, though our trial may not go away, what troubles us may not go away, we can trust God that He will feed us, sustain us until we can carry this burden. And this can be a great blessing, for in our afflictions, in our burdens, it draws us close to God. As quoted earlier from the psalmist, that it was good for him that he was afflicted, for it drove him to God's word. We are sustained by the meat of the word. This is how the Lord strengthens us to help carry this burden. Sustained by the meat of the word, coming in prayer. And He will not only give us our daily bread and food, but in the word, which is better than food. As our memory verse even says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He will sustain you in His word, give you strength to continue on. And do we not have the promise? In Scripture, the lilies, they don't toil, the birds of the air. And yet God cares for them. And He says, don't worry about these things. How much more His own people? How much more will He sustain you? And He looks at us as His dear little children. He will feed you, nourish you, strengthen you, and equip you for the task at hand. He is not calling you to carry any burden. He is not calling you to do anything which he will not equip you for, which he will not give you the strength for. He will help you in your burden. If you but cast it upon him, if you but look to him for aid and help and say, Lord, I cannot bear it. You must take it from me. You must carry me in this. He will help you. If you humble yourself before him, and he will sustain you spiritually and will draw you close to himself. Even though this burden may not be truly taken away in the sense of the trial has not passed, yet he will still give you peace which surpasses understanding. As a shepherd who cares for his sheep, he will walk with you. He will lead you. He will guide you to green pastures. And that although there are wolves all around, the elements may bother the sheep. The danger around them is all around. Yet their shepherd will protect them. He will put himself between them and the danger, and he will bear the burden for them. And this is the same with our God. He will not allow his righteous ones to wither and die spiritually under their trials and temptations. And although it may seem for a time that we suffer under these burdens, he will not allow his righteous ones to be utterly ruined. Which then brings to the final thing that we see here in this, is that he will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Again, nothing happens to us that God has not permitted. And we have seen this point already, but despite how terrible some things may seem that happens to us, he will never allow us to be shaken in them. And I think what the Lord is conveying here to us and what David would have us see is that although it may seem like we are blown about at times, that God's people may be tossed about as a ship at sea, that we are utterly destitute, we're slandered, we may seem as though our faith is shaken, yet it will not lead to our ruin. It is as the house built upon the rock. The waves came and beat against that house. I would say the house may even have given a little. It may have swayed with the beating of the storms and the wind. Yet it stood firm. It did not collapse because the foundations were sturdy. What I mean by that is that in the same way, this is true of all of us here who are in Christ. If we are trusting in Christ, some of the branches of our faith, they may seem to shake with the wind, be blown around, yet the roots stand firm and the roots are Christ. If you are truly trusting in him, you have been justified by his blood, his righteousness. You are following him in spirit and truth, doing what he has commanded of you, and he will not allow you to be shaken. Again, the tree itself may be shaken of your faith, yet the roots stand firm, for Christ is the one who holds them. It is not you, it is him that will not allow you to be shaken. The foundations will not be destroyed. He will not allow you to be shaken to the point of ruin, to be utterly overwhelmed and suffer damnation, for he holds you in his hand, he will sustain you, and he will keep you from utter ruin. Again, he who began a good work in you will see it through to completion. This is a promise. And Romans 8:38 tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Your trials cannot separate you from him. Your burdens, your crosses to bear, they do not separate. He will sustain you, and he will not allow his righteous ones to be shaken, no matter what comes our way. As your father, he will not allow it. As a father protects his child, he will protect you and keep you. In closing, I would call those who truly do not believe in God to see where they stand without him this morning. It is a very sad thing that in your times of trouble and your burdens you carry, that you have no one to turn to. if you are struggling with your sins, if you are burdened by the trials of life, loss, friends, and family can only do so much for you. But they cannot take the burden from you, and it is a miserable thing to suffer in such a way. Yet Christ, if you would have Him, if you would trust Him, He will take your burdens from you. You need not carry them, and He offers to you freely salvation. He offers freedom. He died that sinful mankind may live. He lived the lives that we could not. He obeyed the law in your place. And through His perfection and righteousness, these things may be yours. Yet you must cease from self-reliance, this pride and trust in self to take care of all your needs and somehow be rid of your burdens and your own power. You will try and try to no avail. And your end will be far worse than any sufferings you had to bear in this life. He will receive all who come to Him and bring Him their burdens in faith. And the amazing thing about it is, He will come to meet you. He came to us here on the earth. He comes to sinners to meet them. The second you have made up your mind, I will come to Christ for relief. I cannot bear this anymore. I will be rid of my sin. He already stands in front of you with His wounded hands of grace, reaching out in mercy to clasp you and bring you into His fold. He comes to you first before you even think to call to Him. And the call of the gospel is to believe in Christ and live. Bring your sin to Him. Lay it at the foot of the cross. This is where you must start. Acknowledge your wickedness, your complete lack of hope to escape hell without Him. Then you may come to Him and cast all your other burdens upon Him. But the first you must start with is your sin. Cast it upon Him. Be rid of it. Be done with it. And embrace Him. For all who come, He will by no means turn away. And I pray this of everyone listening. Please. He will not disappoint. Let us pray. How gracious Heavenly Father, Almighty God. Lord, we come to You for help in this great task at hand of casting our burdens upon Christ. Lord, whatever ails us, whatever burdens us, I pray that we would come, that we would lay them upon Jesus and trust that You will sustain and keep us. We trust You, Father, and Lord, sustain us. Keep our eyes on Christ and full of hope. In Jesus' name, amen.